Fida Kishta is a 23-year-old student. She describes an event during the 2000 Intifada, which she says changed her life.
Once, while I returned back from my school, I crossed our street and said to myself, it's okay, I can cross the street. And while I'm in the middle, the Israelis start to shoot. I stopped in the middle of the street, don't know what to do. And then a little guy, 10 years old, he said, are you afraid to cross? And he said, I will cross. And he did, but he get the pellet in his head. And I can tell you, it's not me who carried the kid. It's my body, but it's not my mind. And I give the kid to the ambulance driver. And after a while, I called him what's happened. He said, you know, he died.
In the following weeks, Fida saw many more dead children's bodies and decided to get involved. Inspired by Rachel Corey, she volunteered with the International Solidarity Movement, founded a direct action group called Rachel's Way, and has become a photographer and a camera woman. After her house was demolished by Israeli bulldozers in 2004, she started a school called Life Makers Center, which today helps 250 traumatized youths. Laila El Haddad is a Palestinian journalist from Gaza City who writes for Al Jazeera and The Guardian. Using photography, she gave an account of the massive Israeli destruction of the Rafah refugee camp in 2004.
The Rafah was completely cut off. No media were allowed in, and the New York Times and the CNNs of the area all came days later after everything had died down. But you've all probably heard of the apartheid wall in the West Bank. Few people know the predecessor was actually in Rafah in the Gaza Strip. This is the wall that tore the town of Rafah apart. The Rafah was one town, now it's Egyptian Rafah and Palestinian Rafah, and there's many families that have been divided as a result. 25,000 Palestinians lost their homes to house demolitions during the Intifada, and two-thirds of those were in Rafah. Human Rights Watch has an excellent report on that called Raising Rafah, and all of that to clear this sort of buffer zone, or whatever they called it, in front of this wall.
The so-called disengagement, says Laila El Haddad, has not improved life in Gaza. Palestinians still need Israeli-issued ID cards to come in and out. The on and off blockade has devastated the economy, and in addition to frequent bombings of civilians, the Israelis are experimenting with a new form of collective punishment.
You might have heard of the sonic boom attacks. Basically, this was low-altitude flying F-16 jets breaking the sound barrier. Israel was the first military to do it. And out of nowhere, you know, usually it's time to be like either in the morning prayer or in the still of night. You just hear this enormous explosion. And I remember the first time I heard it, I just went into hysterics. And I was shaking, and I thought I would open the door and see that the entire neighborhood was blown off. That's how powerful this explosion was.
Despite an 85% participation in the recent elections showing their commitment to democracy, Gaza Palestinians are losing faith that a political settlement is possible.
Palestinians that I asked expressed similar sentiment, most of them saying to me, we've had a decade of yeses with nothing in return, and we kept faithfully saying yes, 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 anytime something was asked. To them, this was the end result, and so they don't see that one more yes is going to help them. No one is asking Israel to recognize Palestinian rights. No one is withholding funds from Israeli society or killing Israelis, starving them until it recognizes Palestinian rights, and so they see it as a very blatant double standard.
Fida Kishta and Laila El Haddad are currently working on a documentary film called Women in Gaza, which will most certainly illustrate the remarkable humanity and resilience of Palestinians still facing an uncertain future after nearly 60 years. For the WBI Sunday News, this is Fred Gwynne.